Anyway, good to see y'all today. Happy New Year. You braved the storms, and you're here on New Year's Day. Brother Wallace Corley, if you don't mind, would you turn that from heat to air conditioner back there? I've been recognizing a lot of this, and it warmed up quite a bit today. Praise the Lord. It's a nice day today. And if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, this morning we're in Isaiah chapter 42, and then I'm going to read a little bit from Matthew chapter 12 to kind of connect some dots. And next week, we'll be back in Hebrews. We're picking up where we left off, and so we've been going verse by verse through Hebrews, and we'll be in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 next week, and we will finish Hebrews. And then when we're done with Hebrews, Lord willing, we'll go to Daniel chapter 9 and pick up in Daniel chapter 9 where we left off at the end of Daniel chapter 8. So exciting first two quarters of the year. And then don't forget, at the end of January, January the 29th, Brother Jerry Carlisle will be preaching. He's the former pastor at First Baptist of Plano. He's going to preach on leaving a legacy. And if you are a member of a BGCT church, Texas Baptist, which is what we are, same as Green Acres, you can have your will done, and you can update it anytime you want to, and they cover all the cost. However, they do encourage you. You don't have to do this, but they do encourage you to give at least 10% of your estate to your church or to the Texas Baptist Association. So Teresa and I are going to do that, and it's a good way to get a will and be able to update it on your own without having to pay any money for lawyer fees to do it, so that your legacy continues to bless the church even after you're gone. So, and you can come up with what you want to do. It doesn't even have to be 10%, be 50%. And so look at Isaiah chapter 42, and I'm going to start in verse 1. And if you look for Isaiah, just flip open to the center of the Bible and you're going to land in Isaiah. All right. And I'm in the New King James Version. Title of the message is Bruised Reeds and Smoking Flax. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Verse 2, this is really important. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Here's our key verse for today. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Now, I want to pick up in Matthew 12, because this is where this is fulfilled, is in Matthew 12. We can see it being fulfilled. And I'm going to start in 12, verse 14. He says, then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him, talking about Jesus, that they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known. That can seem kind of crazy, but we'll explain in a minute. Why did he warn them not to make him known? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. And it's the same verses that we just read. And I'm going to skip in that quote down to verse 20. And he says, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name, Gentiles will trust. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you've brought us into a new year. And Lord, it's the first day of 2023, and God, our prayer today is that we would take all of the hurts, all of the bruises, all of the effects of the fall that we are affected by, maybe depression, maybe discouragement, maybe anxiety, that we would take all of those things, Lord, and that we would completely give it to you. And God, that we would start out 2023 with a zeal for you, with a passion to be light, with a passion to serve you. And Lord, that you would rekindle that fire in our heart. And Lord, that if there's any bruised reeds, we're bruised reeds so often in this room today. God, we pray today that today it would change and that we would experience your healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when you think about bruised reeds, the word for bruised in the Hebrew is actually not like our word that we use today. The word we use today is like contusions or just bruises on the surface, bruises that you can see. But the word that is used for a bruised reed in the Hebrew is an internal crushing. It's like when you see somebody at church and they're all smiles, and then they give you a call after church or on Monday, and you find out that their smile was camouflage for a crushed heart. Really, in their life, there's something going on that others can't see, and they're bruised from a circumstance or bruised from a lot of stress or crushed from this or crushed from a medical report. Could be a number of things. And so they're bruised, and you can feel all beat up. And it reminds me of the story. Matter of fact, it's good to see you today, John Green and Pat. And John used to have a very reputable mason company, bricklaying company, commercial and residential, had a good reputation. I know my dad's worked with you in the past when my dad was an architect, still living. And John, you might appreciate this. This is a story about a bricklayer that got hurt on the job, and he sent his boss a letter requesting sick leave. And this is what he said. He said, "I arrived at the job after the storm, checked the building out, and saw that the top needed repairs. I rigged up a hoist and a boom, attached the rope to a barrel, and pulled the bricks to the top. When I pulled the barrel to the top, I secured the rope at the bottom." Mistake number one. "After repairing the building, I went back to fill the barrel with all my leftover bricks. I went down and released the rope to lower the bricks, and the barrel was heavier than I and jerked me off the ground, so I decided just to hang on. Halfway up, I met the barrel coming down and received a blow to the shoulder. I hung on and went to the top, where I hit my head on the boom and caught my fingers in the pulley. In the meantime, the barrel hit the ground, the bricks came out, bricks went everywhere. This made the barrel lighter than I. I started down at high speed. Halfway down, I met the barrel coming up and received a blow to my shins. I continued down and fell on the bricks, receiving cuts and bruises. At this time, I must have lost my presence of mind because I let go of the rope and the barrel came down and hit me on the head, and I respectfully request sick leave." Sometimes you can feel like that and feel all beat up and feel like, what in the world is, it's just one of those days. And if you're a boss man, I know we have Steve and Stacy and Larry Blaylock and others that are boss men. You've probably had some crazy days with your employees that you can remember and think about. Well, sometimes those days hit us and we get all messed up. We didn't ask for it, but we get bruised and we get hurt and we feel beat up and we feel discouraged. And we feel anxious, and we get depressed. And guess what happens when that happens? Guess what happens when that happens? What happens is your light for Christ becomes a flicker. Because when you're down and out, and you're discouraged, and you feel there's no hope, then what happens is your light for Jesus just barely burns. Now, thanks to Julie going to Hobby Lobby, we've got some wheat. This is real, by the way, and we're thinking it's wheat. I hope it's wheat. Jerry, I think it's wheat. And it's what Wheaties is made out of. And this right here is the reed. These stalks, and the stalks could be on a bulrush plant in the Bible, or it could be the papyrus plant. They'd use the papyrus leaves to write, put together, and make paper to write scripture on. And oftentimes they use the reed to make the pen by which they wrote. They would dip it in the ink and they would write with it. And this is what the Bible is talking about. It's a prophecy in Isaiah about what Jesus would do when he came. And the prophecy has a twofold meaning. There is a meaning that is contextual that fits the time frame of Isaiah, and then there is a meaning that fits the prophetical time frame of Jesus Christ. and how Jesus Christ would react when they are trying to destroy him and kill him. Okay? So he says, a bruised reed he will not break. Now you take, I'm going to bruise a reed here. Now that crushing is on the inside of this reed. If it was alive, we got to pretend it's alive. And I'm crushing this reed. Now, I can let go of it, and you may not see what's happened on the inside of it. But I've crushed the inside of this reed, but now the reed is standing back up, and you can't tell that. That's what happens in our lives from the effect of sin. Sometimes we're bruised reeds because of the choices that we make. Sometimes we're bruised reeds because we become victims of a crime or victims of circumstance. Sometimes we become bruised reeds because we have forgot to feed upon the Lord and His Word, and we're feeding upon the newspaper and upon the TV and upon the news so much that we're reflections of a newspaper instead of reflections of Jesus Christ. And so how do we reach a dark world? We got to learn from the Master, Jesus Christ, because He teaches the very best lessons on how to reach the lost world. Now, I don't want to drop this. I wanted to set this on fire, not set it on fire, but light it. We got Lee up here in the front. He could come put the fire out. But this is a lamp, and that's oil in the lamp. And this is a wick. The Bible says, a smoking flax he will not quench. This is a modern day wick, but back in the old days, back in the Bible days, oftentimes the vessel would be made out of clay, the wick would be made out of twisted cloth, and then they would have to trim the wick. And the Bible says that a smoking wick, a smoking flax, he will not quench. Sometimes, because we're so bruised and beat up by the darkness of the world or by our own choices, that we feel like the bruised reed and the smoking flax. I don't want to mess up with that because it's got oil in it. But anyway, what happens is this, is he says he won't put out the flicker. He won't put out, he won't quench what's smoking. Now, when a light or a candle goes out, the smoke is abrasive. It's irritating. You don't want to breathe it. That's what happens to us as Christians. When our lives get out of whack with God and we are no longer walking in the by faith in the Lord, what happens is we feel so beat up, feel so discouraged, feel so anxious, feel so depressed that we lose hope. And when we lose hope, we're no longer shining for the Lord. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm not going to crush you. I'm not going to break you. You're already broken. I'm not going to break you. And I am not going to put out your smoke. I'm going to fan the flame and make you burn for me. Now, that gets us in our, that kind of gives you the context. And when you think about Isaiah, look at your first on your outline. So understanding the analogy. Now in Isaiah's day, they're the eve before 70 years of captivity. They're within 100 years prior to captivity and in that last century prior. And they've not been heeding the warnings. And so they're all bruised reeds. Israel is a bruised reed. And so they are smoking flax. But Jesus leads them lovingly. God will lead them into captivity for the purpose to fan the flame. And when they come back out of captivity, and I know Mark Ellis is a student of the Old Testament as well, and when you come out of captivity, let me tell you what happens. They come out and they are prepared. They go and they rebuild the walls. They go and they lay the foundation. They rebuild the temple. And everything is set in place for later when Jesus Christ will come to the earth. And so God had a purpose in everything He did. He had to remove idols and paganism from His people. And so they had to go into captivity because they would not heed the warning. Now watch this. Number one, a bruised reed is the person beat down by sin and the world. For Jesus, he said, don't make me known. He didn't go out and cry out in the streets with a loud voice. It's what we would have done. He finds out that the Pharisees are fixing to plot to kill him, the chief rulers. They want to destroy him because he heals a man's hand on a Sabbath day because he did some good things. And so they're putting together, they were bent on killing him. They'd use any excuse they could find. You know what Jesus did? It teaches us a great example. Jesus goes back to ministry. The world around him is the Roman Empire. And he goes back to ministry. He leaves that area. And the Bible says great multitudes follow him in Matthew chapter 12. And he begins to heal people in the multitudes. He begins to preach the kingdom of God. He just stays the course. All around him, the world is on fire. Jesus is staying obedient to the Father. Now, here's the challenge of the bruised reeds today. The challenge is, you might be a bruised reed coming out of 2022. Oftentimes, I'm a bruised reed because we live in this human body and we're subject to sorrow, we're subject to grief, we're subject to suffering. But when we come to the Lord and we say, God, I'm giving you all my bruises, I'm giving you all my hurt, fan the flame, I don't want to be a smoking flax. I want to be burning bright for you. Lord, my focus is just like you. You are surrounded by evil that is unbelievable, to the point that soon after his ascension, it's not going to be long and you're going to see Christians hanging on crosses and they're using them for light. That's how bad society was. And so the Roman Empire was horrible. And so you have Jesus living in that time frame, but he is so focused on the Father that peace overwhelms him. He's so focused on the Father that he identifies himself by his purpose and his mission, not by what's going on around him. He came to change what's going on around him. And that's why you and I have been born again and saved. We've been saved and forgiven of our sins. We have glory and we have an opportunity. We're going to be in heaven one day. I believe in the security of the believer. And here's what's going to happen. In that time frame between now and then, what are we to do? Be burning bright lights for Jesus Christ. Now, here's the second one. A smoking flax is the person whose light for Christ is barely a flicker. The connection between our bruising from the things of this world and the attacks of Satan and the circumstances of life and the stresses of life, that's what bruises us. But if we let it and we're not casting those burdens on the Lord, what happens is now it is directly affected how bright we shine as lights in the world. That's when we are not making quite an impact like we should. So how do you experience a healing? And that's on your outline. First of all, you got to recognize who God is. He will not leave you in your bruised condition. He won't do that. Colton, pull up that next scripture that's on the screen there. Job 5:18 says, "For he bruises, but he binds. He wounds, but his hands make whole." That's the loving discipline of God. As sometimes we are bruised because he's trying to get our attention. Sometimes he's disciplining us. It's chastisement. But he does it as a father. He does it as a parent. And he's not doing it as a judge because your sins have already been judged when you got saved. They were judged in Jesus, and you have been justified in Jesus Christ by his blood. He paid your sin debt. But the picture there is sometimes he will bruise us in order to get us to look back up to him so that he can heal us, so we don't continue in the same state that we're in. That's one of my favorite verses that I'm actually learning. I'm memorizing. It's on one of my cards in the bathroom. When I brush my teeth, I have a little chip clip on some cards. And that's the card that's on there now. And then here's another scripture, Colton. This one is Philippians 2:13. "For it is God who works in you both to will..." That right there is encouraging. "For it is God who works in you," because you belong to him. You've been bought at a price, "to both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Now, that's Philippians 2:13. Now, here's how you apply this. You're a bruised reed. Everybody's different. Let's just use any kind of hypothetical or example. You feel hopeless. You've been watching the news so much you feel like the newspaper. You're watching the news and you're seeing all the darkness in our world. I believe it won't be long that Jesus is coming. And you see all these things that's happening around you as you watch the news, but you start feeling defined by what you see. You see so much darkness. You see so much trouble. You see so much suffering, but you're not counterbalancing it with the oil of the Holy Spirit in the lamp, with the fresh air of the Word of God, and by cleaning up the embers that have been created on the wick, which is the leftovers from the flesh and the damage that it's done. If that's not happening and you're not balancing it, this dark world will begin to feel overwhelming. And you can start losing your hope. You can start losing your encouragement. You can start losing your joy for the Lord and your service to the Lord. But how are we going to give this world to the Lord Jesus Christ? How are we going to reach it for Jesus if we're not even burning as lights in the world? And so the message today is real simple. It's saying, take all of the hurts of the past and give them to the Lord Jesus. Take all of them. Let Him do what He is best at doing. And then say, God, fill me up with the oil in the lamp, which is the picture of the Holy Spirit, which means He's already there. If you're a Christian, it's whether or not 1 Thessalonians 5:19, are you quenching what He wants to do? The Holy Spirit is there, but we tend to quench what He's trying to do according to His will and His purpose of Philippians 2:13. It's real exciting because what He's saying is you do not have to stay in that condition because you have a God who loves you so much that He won't break the bruised reed. He won't quench the smoking flax. He loves you so much that He came up with a plan so that while you're on earth and He's at the right hand of God in heaven and He's got His representative living in your heart, the Holy Spirit, He came up with a plan in order to get you from the bruised condition to the burning bright light condition. And you say, how does that work? Well, as a reminder, let's just go to our last point. He will make you shine again. Here's how. When you hitch your wagon to Christ. He will make you shine again when you hitch your wagon to Christ. I don't know if our really, really, really young people are used to that phrase. Have y'all heard, Abigail, have you ever heard that phrase, hitch your wagon to something? Well, it's a new year. Let's make it today. And hitching your wagon is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I'll read it in a second. Imagine that you're that lamp and you're barely flickering. You've got to let the Holy Spirit do His work. Can't quench it. Holy Spirit wants to fill your vessel. He wants you to get soaked up, that wick soaked up in the oil of the Holy Spirit so that you are living for Him again. So you need the oil in your lamp. Number two, you need fresh air of the Word of God. The Bible calls the Word life, calls it the Word of life. The Word of God is life. It's like fresh air to somebody that can't breathe. Last night, I decided to do something different in my scripture reading this year. So I'm reading all of the New Testament first. Then I'm going to the minor prophets. And then after the minor prophets, I'm going to go back to Genesis and go all the way up to, then I'm going to the major prophets. Then I'm going to Genesis and coming up to Lamentations. Just going to have a change it up and mix it up a little bit. So I started last night in my brand new year. And my intentions were to read Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2. That was it. And even though we've been in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 lately. And so I get to the end of Matthew chapter 6. And I had to make myself stop. You know why? Because it was like putting an oxygen mask on. The Word of God is just so good. Notepad laying there, writing down my thoughts and questions, things that I had. The Word's fresh every time you open it. And it's fresh air. A lamp can't burn without oxygen. It's got to have fresh air. And then the last thing, you got to clean off the clutter. You got to trim the wick. You got to get rid of all that clutter. You got to reprioritize. The clutter puts you in a cycle. It can make you a reactive Christian instead of a proactive Christian. A Christian that is living in reactive mode is living a life where they get up every day and they react to the circumstances around them. They get up in the morning and they react. I'm hungry. It happens to me every single day, and I'm so glad because I love to eat. But I wake up in the morning and I have to react to hunger. First place I go is to the pantry. If I fail at the pantry, I go to the refrigerator. If all fails at the refrigerator, Whataburger, here I come. Because I got to react. And so we're living in reactive mode, but reactive mode will put you in a lot of embers because your day never changes. You wake up this morning and you do the same thing you did yesterday. But there's no change. It's just reactive. You react to the bills that come in the mail. You react to this. You react to this phone call. You're just reacting. What did you do today? Well, I reacted to everything that happened to me today. Proactive mode. Proactive mode says, I'm going to define myself by who God says I am, not by the things I react to. I'm going to define myself that I am a child of God. I don't even belong to myself. 1 Corinthians 6:19, I have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and I am going to be proactive. Lord, show me somebody to pray for right when I wake up this morning. Lord, give me somebody to encourage right when I wake up this morning. Lord, give me a day that is proactive. I'm going to design my time today at work or wherever it is in such a way that, God, you can work through me for your glory. I'm going to be the witness when somebody comes up. I'm not going to focus on the negative things of the day. I'm going to focus on the things that bring you glory and pleasure. And when you do that, it changes your attitude. And when your attitude changes, now you're able to live as a bright, shining light. Now, here's some verses that you're real familiar with that you will think about. But think about this. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. This is where you hitch your wagon to Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. For without me you can do nothing. I love the next one, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Do we have that one on there? I think we do. Okay, here it is. Come to me, all you who labor. Now, the analogy there, the comparison there, is like a person that is working like crazy, and they are tired. Jesus is using it more in a mind thing. You're weary, and you've labored. You're worrying, and you're busy in all kinds of things, and you're so flustered with it all that you cannot focus on the Lord. And he's saying, you've got to, you're the 450 John Deere six-way blade dozer, but you need a D6 or a D7. I hope y'all know what dozers are. Or a D8 or a D9 to pull your burdens. And so you say, okay, God, I am so beat up. I'm bruised. My light's barely a flicker, and I'm depressed, and I feel hopeless, and the world is falling apart around me, and my goodness, it is falling apart around us. It really is. And you say, but I do not want the world to win a victory and cause me to lose my hope and to lose my convictions and to lose my passion for you. I want to be able to walk and to be able to go straight forward to things that you've called me to do. Does that make sense? He's saying, I'm not going to be defined by it. And so he gave a plan on how to get us from point A to point B. And he says, you got to do that. You got to come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't mean that we can just stop and go to sleep in the Lord. It means that we stop and go to sleep to the worry. That's what the word rest is all about. He's saying, you're going to be busier than you've ever been living for me, because I'm going to use you in your workplace, every conversation, everywhere you go, every prayer you have. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not the rest I'm giving you. I'm giving you rest from the burden. I'm giving you rest from the bruising. I'm giving you rest from the hurt. And so oftentimes when we're in Philippians, because we all know those verses so well, Jesus is saying, you need to come to me. You need to pray. You need to get connected to me. And then we have these verses in Philippians. Think about this. I would almost guess that probably 98-99% of this church knows Philippians 4:4-7. I'm going to read it. Two words you can think of here. The first one is prayer. If you're bruised and you need to get rid of all that hurt and pain and you need to do something with it so you can get back to following the Lord, then you need to do two things. Number one, pray. Number two, focus. Now, we always focus on the prayer right here, but we miss the next part. So I'm going to read it. Here's prayer. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That's an imperative, by the way. It's a command. You got to do it. You got to choose to do it. It ain't going to come natural. He says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Now, why did he say that? Let your gentleness be known to all men, because the graciousness that is within you cannot become known if your attitude has been connected to your burdens. Because when your attitude is connected to your burdens, your gentleness has to stay inside. But when your your burdens are given to the Lord, now the attitudes within you, the graciousness, the gentleness, can be known to all men because the fruit of the Spirit is about to flow in your life. He says, the Lord is at hand. Now, verse 6, the verse we all know. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I love this part. With thanksgiving. Put some thanks. Pepper your, well, I like salt better. Salt your prayer with some thanksgiving, and it'll change the attitude of your heart. Be thankful. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, here's the first sign of peace. And the peace of God, that's not a person that's burdened. That's a person who has found rest in the Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, it's like putting a guard at your heart, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, we always stop right there, and I'm guilty. We always stop. Now, but we miss the focus. This is the most important thing on a daily basis. You got to pray, but you got to have focus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, he's saying look for it. If there's anything virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy. And then I love the punctuation, it's just a dash. Meditate on these things. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. I share that with my daughters. As a man thinketh, so is he. When you choose to have a good attitude when you wake up in the morning, you say, God, here's my burdens. Take my day. I give it to you. What you're doing is you're giving him permission to work in your life. You're saying, God, I know I'm down here on earth. You're in my heart by the Holy Spirit, but I'm giving you permission to take my burdens, to take my worries, and you deal with all of those things, and then I'll be obedient to you and all the other things. So I'm just trusting you. You're going to take care of the burden because I'm going to take care of the obeying. And when you're doing that, what happens is your mind will change. Now you're not being defined by everything you see on the news, because what happens if we're not careful, we become newspapers instead of light. Every time somebody gets around us, we're just giving them the same news that they just heard. But what have we done to change a single person's life? What have we done to bring glory to the Lord in that? Everybody can see what's going on in this world, and Jesus is coming, and I believe he's coming soon. But I'll tell you what, the greatest need in the church today, you know what the greatest need is? The greatest need is that we will learn how to get yoked up with Jesus Christ. We will connect ourselves to him, learn to rest in our burdens in him, and learn to serve him as lights to a dark world. Then we'll see people getting saved. You know why? Because you're going to water that seed when you're at Cracker Barrel. You're going to be sitting there, and the waiter's going to come up, or the waitress is going to come up, and you're going to pray about it, and you're not going to be rude, you're not going to be offensive, and you're going to tip good. Don't witness and then leave a 20-cent tip. Tell them you don't go to Mount Sylvan. Give a good tip if you're going to witness. But what you're going to do is you're going to change your mode of thinking. And you're going to say, God, I'm so focused on you. I'm so focused on you. You can have the hurts. You can have the bruises. I'm going to receive your forgiveness. And if there's anybody I need to forgive, I'm going to step out and do it. And Lord, if there's anybody I need to show some gentleness to, I'm going to step out and do it, because this world could use a little bit of kindness right now. And Lord, I'm just going to be a light for you, because I'm going to focus and I'm going to pray and I'm going to focus on those praiseworthy things. And then you'll experience his peace. That's what he said at the end of that. He said in verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul's saying, hey, if you can't find nothing praiseworthy, if you can't find anything of virtue, well, here's one more. Focus on the things I taught you and the life I've been living before you, and if you'll just do that, God's peace will be with you. Our hearts, what we think about, will define what we talk about. It's very important. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word. God, your word is faithful. You are faithful. And God, our prayer for 2023, for our personal lives and for Mount Sylvan Baptist Church, is that, Lord, that we would live for you in such a way that others would see Jesus. God, we pray for conversions. We pray for people to get saved in 2023. Lord, we pray that you would fan the flame in our witness to others. That you would just cause us to have so much love because our lamp is so full of the Holy Spirit, that you would cause us to have so much love that others, every time they're around us, they say, "You're just like Jesus. You just minister to me with your actions and with your words and with the things that you do." And Lord, that lives would be changed because your church, your people in America have decided in 2023 it's time to stand up and to be an example and an ambassador of Jesus Christ in this dark world. Lord, we love you. We exist as a church to be a hospital for bruised reeds, to be a hospital for smoking flags. Help us to find those bruised people. Help us to find those that are barely have a flicker and to encourage them in who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.